what astrology says about today. Is it some moon, Mercury, or some issues that we have?
Hello, you're listening to Crossing the Desert. This podcast is a reality series about how I build my small business in the Emirates. You will hear my calls to friends, the sounds of Dubai streets, and most importantly, the stories of entrepreneurs who opened a business and settled here in the Emirates. I'm Isaac. I came to Dubai to put down my roots here. The stories of entrepreneurs who have already succeeded here will help me on my way. In each episode, I interview people from India, Egypt, Palestine, Caribbean Islands, UK, and other countries. I don't know which ones yet because the story is just the beginning. The podcast is hosted by Fortis Digital Solutions, the POS and CRM in one easy-to-use solution specially designed for small businesses.
Oh, I told you about mosquito, right?
Five.
No, it bit me, I don't know, like, I counted 7, 8, and I'm not very happy about it.
Actually, I'm not happy at all about it. Ironically, that happened because of a good thing, the weather. Because the weather is great, so I like to open the window because I do not appreciate air conditioning running all the time. And because I live at the 18th floor, the wind is nice and, you know, it's kind of fresh and I just like it. I opened that day the door to the balcony and I hate mosquitoes. Like, I hate being bitten by mosquitoes because I do not take it as a usual regular person. First of all, they bite me a lot. Not one time, but like 10 times. Second of all, these places of bite, they become like very big and disturbing. I hate the buzzing of mosquitoes. I don't like animals in general. So when there is a mosquito running, I'm ready to slap my face very hard if I feel the mosquito is somewhere here just to kill that investor. I'm sorry. Believe me, I don't like to start this episode with a mosquito buzz sound effect and complain about it, but I need to be honest, things are not great. The process of learning, it can be challenging. Learning how to navigate in a new country and start a business, it's already a lot. And I'm doing all that while also hosting my first ever podcast. And to understand how this situation is affecting me, you need to know that I'm that annoying friend who always texts like, time to wake up and shine, guys, every morning. But in the past few days, my vibe when talking to them was completely different.
I've listened to so many podcasts. I had shivers. I've laughed. I've cried, you know, all those things like with the podcast. So, of course, when I joined the project, I was like, well, what's the difficult? In general, it's not when you are not a child, yeah? It's not easy to learn something new. It's not easy to adapt a new skill very quickly.
I'm learning that podcasting is hard work and it's time consuming. I mean, it takes me 1 hour or 2 hours just to get to the interview only.
Hi, Isaac.
Hi, nice to see you.
You too, how are you?
This is Omar, a textile entrepreneur from Egypt.
I'm good, how are you doing?
I'm fine, how's it going?
Good.
All good?
Good, yeah.
I'll be with you in just like 2 minutes.
Okay? Yeah, of course. Right. Can I wait outside?
Yeah, sure.
Perfect.
I've wanted to talk to Omar since last week when I saw his brand Tikas on Instagram. So we arranged a meeting at the Art District in Dubai, where he has a nice pop-up store. The first time I came to the Art District, I was impressed. It reminded me of places I used to go in Moscow. As you could hear when I met Omar, the Art District is a place with cool music.
With different type of galleries, pop-up stores, Cinema Akil is here. They show independent art films, usually here. Books, posters, like all that stuff, you know?
This was me talking to my friend a week ago. Today, while I was waiting for Omar, my mood was different. And it was not only because of the mosquitoes that had kept me awake the night before, but I didn't have time for that. I had an interview to do.
So, my name is Omar Abdelgabbar. I started my brand Tikas in Egypt in 2010. We're in the textile manufacturing of home textiles and lifestyle products as well. So typically you'd have on, let's say, guest towels, the butterfly or the flower or something of the sort. And then we thought of like bringing some culture into that mix, where we did the evil eye or the hand of Fatma or something written in Arabic calligraphy like Ahlan wa Sahlan or Nawartuna, which is all like welcoming. Can we pause for a second?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, yeah. Dina's my wife.
Oh, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I was glad that Dina had joined us. Dina is Omar's wife and marketing specialist. She's an important part of Tika's business and identity.
We will never do something that is like typical by any means.
We do a lot of work in terms of the thread, the colors of choice. So we can actually have like shading. So you feel that it's not just, you know, like an embroidery, a flat on a placemat or something. So we give it a lot of dimension. We give it a lot of soul by playing with the threads. So I wouldn't, for example, if I want to shade, I wouldn't just go from orange to yellow. I would go from orange to a lighter one to another, you know, with layers of different thread colors.
Yeah, I can see that. One of the towels I saw in the store has beautiful olive embroidery in different tones of green. It is different from what you usually see in home textiles. I think creativity is one of the most important parts of a business. However, innovation and creativity can lead to unexpected business challenges, like someone copying your work. The first time Omar had to deal with this was a long time ago. He had just begun his business in Egypt, but he still remembers it very well.
A client called us. Like we distribute to like different stores and different places. Anyway, she called me. She's like, Omar, what are you thinking? I was like, what's going on? She's like, I saw your stuff at Khan al-Khalili. Khan al-Khalili is like the touristic, very like...
The bazaar.
Bazaar.
You know, they would have their things on the sidewalk, you know, like the souk.
And I saw your hand of Fatma, and I saw the evil eye that we have in our store. We can't associate with this. This is impossible. I was like, where? What? How? So I literally went and saw, and I saw people copying our designs. And I was just really like furious with it because it was like so, it was a big hit. And I thought at the time, mind you, I was also young, you know, this was like eight years ago, like I was still in my 20s. Mm-hmm. You take it in the sense of, oh, like people are stealing my design, so they're taking my efforts and things like that. I was very high strung about, talk to the stores that had these designs, and I'm like, this is not your design, this can't be right, etc. And the guy's like, what are you gonna do about it? You know, like,
and I'm talking
to like a 50, 60 year old guy, and I'm in my 20s, so definitely he's like, what are you gonna do about it? Like, there's nothing you can really do about it.
That would drive me crazy, just like young Omar felt. As he said, you put in so much work, so many hours of your day to build something different, and then someone just comes and copies all that. But with time and Dina's help, they found a way to answer this almost philosophical question. What are you going to do about it?
Okay, copy this, follow me next. We just keep on doing more and more, always innovating, always doing something new.
Yeah, you used to get really annoyed when I told you, like, by the time they're copying you and you know they're not going to do it right, you're already working on the next thing. So even if they want to copy you, they won't go the extra measure because, you know, they're already lazy by copying you, so they won't.
Oh, that is a nice mindset. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So have them copy. They can't get the quality. They don't put the effort. They're lazy and they're looking for a quick buck.
I like this mindset because I put effort into everything I do, but sometimes it's just not enough. And as I said at the beginning of this episode, I was having a hard time with my new project, this podcast. Now you're going to hear the continuation of that conversation with my friend, in which I try to explain how I felt about doing interviews for this podcast.
I had one way of thinking, like, that it's kind of easy to navigate the conversation. And because I was a teacher, I was like, well, that's just a piece of cake. because it is kind of easy. You sit and talk and ask questions, but in reality, especially after the first interviews, it is very, very difficult. And it's not only about the conversation that goes. You need to always constantly in your mind to think what question should be appropriate next, how to navigate the conversation towards where you want, not how not to miss the detail. So all this issue makes your brain melt. I'm beginning to learn from Omar that melted brain can keep running. Actually, it needs to. Let me explain. Much of my interview stress comes from the adrenaline of not knowing what's going to come next, but also maintaining the rhythm. In a way, it reminded me of what he told me about the beginning of his brand, Tika, in Egypt.
I was put in a position right before I graduated university, where I had to take on the role of my father. So I was like, okay, I want to give my family what they want, but in order to do that, it can be on a normal fresh grad salary. So my sister Khadija, and Tika is derived from Khadija because she was my inspiration at the beginning of starting the business.
Her nickname is Tika, actually. That's why it's Tika's.
Yeah, exactly. Khadija was like, I'll buy towels and I'll do some designs and go to like bazaars and try to sell them and stuff like that. So we took like a small booth in a mall. Similar to this.
When Omar says similar to this, he's talking about the pop-up store that they have now in the art district in Dubai, where we are now.
And we started doing like just guest towels and putting different designs on them. And then it was like, okay, happening. And then the rest is history, you know?
I like small shops and pop-ups. It's like they have their own charming kind of magic. Omar's and Dina's place is great. Even the moment when you step up into the store, you can feel that vibe of coziness, like it's like you're visiting home in the middle of the art district itself, in the vibrant Dubai. And the smell of the store, the way the colors are arranged and they are placed, and the way you can see all the items they sell on the shelves is just so well-natured and so beautiful. And I can see Omar and Dina put a lot of work, taste, and soul to make it look like that. I asked JP Serhal, marketing director from Fortis, about what it do to support entrepreneurs who ran places like this one.
Fortis is made of several key products, mainly the POS software and the CRM software. When it comes to the POS software, the main difference between Fortis and the rest of the competition is that Fortis has a POS software that works perfectly with the Smart POS. The Smart POS is typically considered a payment terminal, which is a small machine that you put your card on it and it pays. Most of the competitors don't have that. Most of the competitors have a POS software that works only on what you call widescreen machines, which are fixed and are not meant to be moved around. The beauty of Fortis's POS software is that it works on a very small terminal machine that moves around, which saves a merchant a huge amount of space. Keep in mind that the merchants that we serve are micro merchants. They sell in kiosks. They sell in very, very small shops. And every square centimeter of space that is saved is very valuable to these merchants.
As Omar and Dina told us, the brand Tika was named after Omar's sister's nickname. It is clear that some of the inspiration comes from family.
I would talk about the products themselves. They were all inspired by family and getting together, because that's a huge part of our culture. It's a huge part of the Arab culture in general. But in Egypt, like, Ramadan is, for example, is all about like being together with the family, even like connecting with the family that you don't usually get to see. And so that's why all our products, they revolve around like people getting together, or like, you know, sitting down for a meal together and like having those warm conversations.
It is also clear that they are deeply inspired by their homeland, Egypt. I asked Omar what he felt about that.
It's really a great country where the grit
brings out the best in you. Like, it's very crowded, it's very populated. There's a lot of action always happening. There's always things that are coming your way, but it creates like resilience, and it gives you a lot of inspiration to bring out ideas. Like, because when the revolution happened, like, all malls had to shut down for security reasons for like 3 weeks and 4 weeks and things like that. And it was our only like source of income at the time.
I wanted to know how it was.
So you don't expect something like that. And even in the beginning when it happened, like, you know, you don't realize the magnitude of it. You're like, a day or two, like, yeah. People on the streets. Maybe for many months, it actually, like, nothing was functioning in the country. Nobody was going to work. Nobody was, like, going to school. Nobody. So it was a very worrying time. I think in a span of 10 years, we saw, like, people wouldn't even see in a lifetime, you know? Like, it's not the norm. But I still think we're lucky and we're blessed, because it taught us a lot, definitely. It taught us to be resilient. It taught us to be much stronger. We definitely have thick skin.
It amazes me how, for a creative person, even the most shaken events are inspiration. Let me tell you the story of engineer and inventor Al Jazari. He lived in 12th century and early 13th centuries. That means his entire life fell on the era of the Crusades. Like his father, he served as chief engineer in the Diyarbakir residence under the Artukid dynasty. It's on the territory of modern Turkey. It was not the central stage of military events, but of course, all of the region was affected. And in such difficult times, Al Jazari invents his own mechanism. It was he who invented the crankshaft, without which cars would not be possible. He came up with the idea of varnishing wood, making metal doors and combination locks. I love that during stressful times, he made things for joy and pleasure, like water clocks, fountains, jukeboxes. He made robots to serve drinks and play drums and cymbals. I love it, adding beauty to the world. And I feel a little bit of our similarity, because I also have an engineering education, and like me, Al Jazari was probably Kurdish, and I can learn from him and from Omar how to build my business when the whole world is just upside down.
Because when the revolution happened, like, all malls had to shut down for security reasons for like 3 weeks and 4 weeks and things like that, and it was our only like source of income at the time.
This time, it was not a 60-year-old lazy merchant who was asking him, "What are you going to do about it?" It was random events that could catch us at any moment of our life. Once and again, Omar and Dina have a good answer to this philosophical question.
So it's like, okay, so it's not smart to put all your eggs in one basket, so why don't we distribute? So then we started to distribute. By distributing the products, like, then you have like different locations, different places, different cities, different countries. So if one goes down, the other is going up, and that's how it was. That's how the business came to life.
Yeah.
Omar and Dina have a great connection. During this interview, they complete each other's sentences and ideas very often. And the secret of this may be related to the way they met. It was like those mid-cut scenes from rom-com movies.
His birthday is on Valentine's Day, so his birthday.
Very comfortable. Okay, let me tell you this.
Yeah, it's on the 14th of Feb. So my friend and I, we're going to an anti-Valentine's Day party. Uh-huh. And she was like, okay, good, because I have a friend of mine whose birthday is today, and they're kind of like going out there, so I can kind of like pass by and say hi. I was like, cool. So we went, and that was her friend from school.
Uh-huh.
And that's, we met on his birthday, and then he slid into my DMs. And then, and then the rest is history, yeah.
Like any romantic story, the characters have to complete a journey. For them, the journey was to learn how to work together.
Of course, with couples working together, you need to give space. You need to give time to learn how to deal with one another. And you need to be patient.
Easy to say, hard to do it.
I'm the first to admit I wasn't like that at all. Really.
Were you stubborn?
I was, because I had, like, I started
before.
This business on my own.
Oh.
And nobody used to tell me, no, what you're saying is not right. He's like, excuse me, I've been doing this business and I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And
yeah.
I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is like, I've been doing this for 6 years. And then, oh, wait.
Yes.
She's actually right. And like, Dina coming from corporate background and coming from advertising and like, doing her master's in digital, like she has a wealth of knowledge of structure that I don't kind of have. I'm very creative, I'm very very business development minded, but like structure wise and design wise, and there are so many things that we just nobody has everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good to complement each other, but give the space.
And it takes time to learn how to do that, because that's not what we're used to at work. Like, you don't go home with the people you work with, but this is different. So that's why you need to approach it differently, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, we still, like, it's not like rosy every day,
yeah.
You know? Like, we still,
but
of course.
But it's definitely better.
But it's like we were at Everest and now we're at base one. You know? Like, so it's great. Like, it's great. And it's there's common respect, there's common appreciation to everybody's input. And that actually, now that we reach that, it just fast tracks the process. It makes us, it makes it easier. Where like you did the hard work at first, and it was like we were very committed to. No, we're gonna do it. And a lot of people are like, you're not gonna do it. And then like now proving them wrong and being here and doing this together, it's great. It's good.
So. They were ready when they decided 1 year ago to expand and move to Dubai. Tika is now part of a bigger plan.
We came to Dubai just recently. We opened up a company called Two Mushrooms Trading, where Two Mushrooms Trading is basically the company where we want to bring under it brands such as the likes of our brand in Egypt, Tika's. So our aim is to bring Egyptian quality to the region, and we're starting that through Two Mushrooms Trading.
Of course, I wanted to know, why Dubai?
I think it's definitely one of the best places in the world, in my opinion.
Especially right now.
It's a new country, technically, and I think they've done a fantastic job in the sense of learning from the world and molding this into the best, like, in my opinion. I think it's just like, you got the best of everything to make it really easy. Like, whether it's functionality, and whether it's as a landscape for business, opening up your business here is super convenient and super easy. They encourage you in a lot of different ways.
There's always someone better than you. There's always one making more money than you. There's always someone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite challenging, but it also keeps you on your feet. And I think that's what we all need, especially as young people. Like, you need to be on your feet. You need to learn from other people. You learn a lot from competition, you know?
Of course.
What would your advice be to somebody who wants to start their business in Emirates, or in Dubai specifically?
Just take the first step, because they make it easy for you to start your own business here, coming from a different country. Like, the process is so easy and it's pretty straightforward. Just like, take the first step, explore, like, what is needed from you to be here, then study the market. Don't ever come to the market without
researching.
Look at your competitors. You're more likely to succeed, and then develop yourself, because in this market, because it changes like really fast, you need to do that as well. You need to develop as fast as it changes. So just, you never stop learning, you never stop studying the market, because the market like changes the trends. I wouldn't even say like yearly trends or monthly, it's like weekly trends now, you know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's fast paced, but it's also how you want to look at it. Fast pace, maybe just walk faster.
Yes.
And then, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that, actually.
In the first episode of this series, I interviewed Simi from India, who also works with textiles. Talking with Omar and Dina, I remember a lot about her.
It's not that they both work with textiles, but especially how they approach the creativity process. Simi told me that part of her inspiration came from traveling. You're going to listen to part of that interview.
My collections and my clothes are bits and pieces of things I create, but also hugely influenced by wherever I traveled that summer or the winter where I went to, places I visited, people I met. I was in Denmark. Denmark is known for its monarchy, right? It's one of the oldest monarchies. So they have a lot of museums and a lot of events around history. So if you see my new collection, a lot of clothes are kind of influenced by, the cut especially, is influenced by the medieval dress inserts they used to wear. They used to call it slips.
Omar and Dina also get ideas from places, forms and figures, which can all be translated into design for them.
The past, so now we're going on 14 years of doing this business. We recently came to Dubai and my wife joined me. I've been married for 5 years, Dina. And Dina's also with us now in the business. And we came to Dubai just recently. We opened up a company called Two Mushrooms Trading, where Two Mushrooms Trading is basically the company where we want to bring under it.
Me and Omar, we love Sinai. We usually, like before, when we're coming up with a new collection, we go to Sinai, to a place called Ras Shaitan, which is an area there, like by the sea. It's like bungalows, tents by the sea. It's very like,
you can see Saudi, you can see Jordan.
You can see Jordan across the sea. And
the energy is amazing.
And you just, you know, there's nothing. It's very primitive. You don't, so it's you get inspired a lot, you know, when you don't have all the hassle and all the, you know,
the clutter,
the chaos around you. You get to think clearly and you get to reflect a lot. And I think like having these places in Egypt where you can just like go to and escape is a great thing. it's great.
Maybe my melted brain needs a place to escape Dubai's fast pace for a while, just for a few hours before the start of the summer. At the beginning of this interview, Dina was warning me about the summer.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to settle. Let's say that.
Yeah. It takes some time to settle here. Yeah.
Especially the weather. Oh, gosh. The weather.
But it's still like the summer here is.
Yes.
Everyone leaves in the summer, so get your content before the summer.
Yes. Because yeah, that's why
it's
going
to be really hard to find
people, right?
Yeah, to find people.
Till the end of the.
And then we talk about my settle down, Dubai, places to go, but you can hear it. Do you want to know why? Well,
Omar invited his wife, which is a great thing, and I was so happy to discuss to both of them. And you know, it's even more stressing because it's not one person, but it's two people now. And it's become even more stressing. And then I just pay attention that the red light is not on. And you're just like, how could I not check that? How could I not foreseen that? I was panicking. My heart was racing. I couldn't call anyone. I couldn't text anyone. I couldn't turn to anyone. So I think she noticed, but she gracefully didn't say anything. Thank God, because if she would say something, I would completely lose it. You know, I was holding on the rope, I would say.
Yes. I made a very beginner mistake. I actually was warned that one day I will come to an interview without SD card in my recorder, or my battery will run out, or I will forget to push the record button. I was told that every podcaster loses recorded material at least once. I thought I would be one of them. I would never have such problem. I came to the interview with fully charged batteries, an additional power supply, and an SD card. But it turned out that my card was full. I don't have enough memory to record. Dina and Omar were great. During the interview, I felt we were best friends, but as soon as I left the art district, I could not feel happy. I had committed a dumb mistake and I was letting down the whole team. My stress levels were high, so the minute I jumped into the taxi to leave the art district and opened my laptop to keep working, I...
Imagine you are... After roller coaster, you know, the roller coaster you do not intend to go or didn't want to attend, but you just happen to be there.
I have car sickness, and maybe because of the stress of the interview combined with a horrible night of the sleep caused by mosquitoes in my brain that was already melted, I experienced the worst car sickness ever. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about,
this dizziness is kind of some slight level of sickness, you know, when you're not too sick to call it sickness, but you're not also feeling physically healthy, like you're not 100% feeling great. So it's like in that there is some small feeling of that light headache, light sickness, a bit dizziness, and it's just like all together.
I managed to get home. I was tired, frustrated, angry, and dizzy, but the day was far from over.
I opened my wardrobe and I just, with the side of my eye, I was like, what is it? So it's like on the wall that between the room and the bath, in the bathroom. And I was like, what is it? And then I just got shocked because, well, not got shocked. I was curious, let's say that, and stressed because as a civil engineer, yeah, with a background in civil engineering, I know how it works and I know what's going on there. And I know that it's because of the liquid and everything from the side of the bath. So I know that you have to, you know, demolish a little bit the wall, like to do many things than just, I don't know, cover it with the new paint.
I found mold in my wardrobe. I know there is a lot of work to be done. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. The only thing I know right now is I need to go to bed and sleep. Yes, I'll keep my window closed. I came here to start my business and I'm working that out, but I realized that there are things that we can't control and can affect us, like mold, mosquitoes, and, well, maybe the position of the planet. Joking. That sometimes doesn't matter how much work you put in. You just forget to clean up your SD card.
You were listening to Crossing the Desert, podcast by Fortis. Fortis helps seamlessly connect businesses and their customers and run the business. It assists in attracting and retaining customers, selling products and services, accepting payments both online and in-store, and managing finances and personnel. Join Fortis social media. Links are in the episode description. Follow our podcast or add it to your favorites. Give us 5 stars or a heart and leave us a comment. This will help other listeners to find out about us and see you in the next episode. Production by Hatchup Podcast Studio. Showrunners, Alexandra Volkova and Yelena Volkova. Producer, Albert Alkhovikov. Scriptwriter and editor, Alexandra Volkova. Sound designer, Mikhail Vasilyev. History consultant, Alexander Kondrashov. And I'm your host, Isaac Delonin.